2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hey, it seems like some people really, 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 really want former Utah Governor John Huntsman back in office as governor. Dave, I want to talk about the chatter behind the scenes. It seems like a few of his supporters might be pulling out all the stops to get him back in front of voters as a write-in candidate in November.
Sometimes taking the loss is just too hard to swallow, right? It's just, you can't say, wow, man, we lost. We're going to walk you through the process, though. What it takes to become a write-in candidate. It's very easy, but it's not as easy as just having people write your name. You can't just write in Dave Noriega and Dave Noriega becomes governor.
Really? It's
not that simple.
Because that was totally my plan.
I figured as much.
I was going to walk around to my neighbors and say, write in Dave Noriega, Dave Noriega, Dave Noriega. Hey, Dave, Boyd Matheson of Inside Sources. Of course, you hear him every day here at 11 o'clock right here on KSL News Radio in studio with us. So let me walk through some of these details that I think are intriguing, and let's all have a conversation about it as we go through it. So we know that former Governor John Huntsman only lost to now Republican nominee Spencer Cox by 7,300 votes in the primary. Yeah. Okay, so that's a slim margin of 1.4%, right? But in many ways, I think that was a major defeat given his resume, Boyd.
You know, I think there were so many things that factored in. I think Spencer Cox ran an excellent campaign. He had his message. He hit all 248 cities. You know, really did the hard work and the heavy lifting beforehand. So I think he benefited from that. I think there were a lot of people, especially nationally, surprised by the defeat by the former ambassador. And so now I think it gets into this space of, okay, so what is next? So the arguments are starting to be made, you know, should he do a write-in campaign, or do we let everything stand and everybody just say, okay, that's the election, let's move forward?
I've heard people, some of my friends say, oh, it was an embarrassing loss to Huntsman. And I'm like, well, careful with the embarrassing. I mean, yeah. You know, it's noble to run if you think you have something to offer. I love that. But I can tell you, as soon as I saw Huntsman run, I thought he had it in the bag. So I was certainly shocked to see him lose. Is a write-in campaign even a possibility? Or is that just a few supporters not willing to let go?
Well, I think there's always chatter after a primary election about write-in opportunities for the fall. And here I think it's a little different in that, you know, you make the argument. Of course, you have the sour grapes argument, or just, you know, let it stand. The people have spoken. But you also have an argument where you can say, well, two-thirds of the votes that were cast for someone other than Spencer Cox. Yeah. So there is an argument to be made there for sure.
So adding to this intrigue, this discussion, is a UtahPolicy.com article I read and a tweet that I saw. There's a man named Spencer Durant. Okay, tweets this out. He posted on Twitter that he got a call, a telephone poll asking several questions about a possible Huntsman write-in bid for governor. They asked, quote, if the Utah general election were held today, who would you vote for? Chris Peterson, we just talked to him live, Spencer Cox, or write-in candidate John Huntsman. How much credibility, Boyd, do you think there is behind that phone call?
I think it's mostly a lot of the political parlor games, and people who say, oh, let's try this. And so you may get a group that may do a little, you know, a few calls or do a poll online or something like that. And most of them don't ever really amount to much. I think, again, it's more political intrigue than anything else.
one of Utah policy's juicy little details or hypotheticals was Greg Hughes perhaps being swapped out to be the running mate of Huntsman. So it would be a Huntsman-Hughes ticket. Now, there's no question Hughes had a huge success during the primaries, but to drop a running mate like Michelle Cafusi,
a lot of interesting political party games. The new billboards would be easy with the two H's, so that would be a positive there. But I do think a lot of it's going to be Spencer Cox is going to make a pivot now. I think you will see that in the coming weeks. He and Deidre Henderson are going to pivot towards the fall and really start to lay out their vision of where they're trying to go, and that's really critical. And I think that's some of the things as far as the chatter goes. Yeah, there's some people in the business community who are saying, we kind of have a big shot to go big in Utah. Should we, have a head-to-head? But I think a lot of people are just, the process is really broken. This plurality thing, which the governor and lieutenant governor should have fixed with the legislature a year and a half ago, I think is still kind of under some people's skin that they didn't fix it. Because imagine the different dynamics. If you have head-to-head candidates versus a four-person race is always different.
So Spencer Cox walks away with under 40% of the vote. Remind me, was it
35.4?
36.5%. The man goes to every city and town in Utah with that big yellow and green bus.
I'm so excited to come to where you live. Our next governor needs to be able to look the people of Utah in the eye and understand where they're from.
With that Utah music. Is this a sign, even the chatter that's going on about a possible write-in with John Huntsman, is this some sort of a sign that there's we have a fractured Republican Party? It just cannot get behind Spencer Cox. What in the minds of the Republicans is wrong with just letting Spencer Cox run for governor?
Yeah, and I think you did hear from Greg Hughes that he would be supporting the nominee, that he would be behind Spencer Cox. So I think that kind of eliminates some of that chatter. In terms of being fractured, I don't know that it's so fractured. I think a lot of that tends to ease over time, and I'm sure the Republicans will unite in the fall. That's sort of how it works for either Democrats or Republicans. You have your big bloody battle with each other, and then you all have a little kumbaya moment somewhere around Labor Day, and then everybody pivots to the fall. And my guess is that's probably what we see in the end here.
I looked into what it takes to be a write-in candidate. Honestly, I thought it was just you write their name in. But apparently,
Dave investigates. Go ahead, yeah, Dave. Tell us.
I dove into some election rules.
That's cool.
That's some easy reading, folks.
Tell us what you found. You're just going to keep it yourself.
I did the Lord's work for you right there.
Send Debbie the bill, please.
Yeah.
But it is fairly simple. You do have to declare candidacy with the proper election official, which is the best case scenario. It's the lieutenant governor. So if you want a super awkward conversation, it's like, hey, Spence.
Yeah. Well, again, which is also part of this process
it
thing.
Is. Yeah, there's been some questions about that. Okay, so
got to do it by August 31st.
Okay.
And that's where you send it to the governor's or lieutenant governor's office. You have to submit some pretty simple forms. But here's the real sticking point. And this is where I think the former governor would be in real trouble. The fees. It's almost $500. So you gotta get that waiver fee processed.
Payday lender.
yes, payday lender.
And that's it, Dave?
That's it.
And just for the record, I know, Debbie, you're working on the Dave campaign for governor write-in. The record, in 2016, I got 16 votes for president.
Thank you
very much. Yeah. So
how
the write-in
happen? Is that like your family?
Not even family. No, my family would never vote for me. Are you kidding?
The kids are like, never, Dad, for president. Okay, so just real quick, in the next 30 seconds, we just had candidate for governor, Democratic nominee for governor, Chris Peterson, on the line. What's he going to have to do to get... I mean, I don't want to say, win, because the Dems had such a hard time winning the governor's seat in the state. But what does he have to do to really make a showing?
I think Chris Peterson has got to go and say, look, Utah is a center-left to center-right state. And that's where we should be playing. He will talk to the fact that the Republicans are lost and they're very fractured in terms of President Trump and what all of that means. But I think he really just has to be for some very specific things. And I don't think it's hard for him to get to some space that would be very interesting. I think he and Spencer Cox share some very common things as it comes to criminal justice, as it comes to balancing religious liberty and LGBT rights and so on. So that there is some space for Chris to do have a really good showing and to show the people of Utah that, look, there are some things that go from the center left to the center right that we all agree on, and we can do this different.
And during our discussion, Boyd, he talked about the school reopenings and the discussions that we've been having about that, and he talked very specifically about local control. And when I said that, I said, oh, I heard that. I thought, oh, that sounds like a very, very familiar storyline.